Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. As we do traditionally, I'll read the light print, and if you'd join me with on reading the dark print, number 711. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Good morning, saints. Happy Sabbath. It's time for our family prayer. For those who have special requests or praises, you are welcome to come to the front and kneel. And for the others, we'll kneel as far as possible in your pews. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're extremely thankful to be alive, to be well, and to be able to come into your courts with praises. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father, you say that as far as it is from the east is from the west, that's how much you love us. And so we pray that as we come before you, that you will hear our hearts, that you'd forgive us of our sins, that you'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that you'd put in our hearts the desire to serve you as we ought to serve you according to the gifts and talents that you've given us and the ones that you want to multiply within us. We pray that you'd give us your Holy Spirit, Father. Father, though we are in your courts, there's some who are ailing, who are suffering, who have cares financially, socially, physically. You know the disabilities and you know our abilities. And so we pray that you would fill us with whatever we are seeking according to your will. That you'd give us peace that only Christ can give, Father. We don't want the one that the world offers, but your peace. And Father, we pray that as we continue throughout the Sabbath day, that you would give us the rest that we are so desperately needing. We thank you for setting the Sabbath aside for us that we can enjoy and we can commune and be drawn closer to you. Give us the rest that we desperately need, Father. And Father, we'll allow for a few minutes for those who have special praises and requests to talk with you. Father, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for caring. And we thank you for your promise in Isaiah 65:24 that before we call, you will answer. And that while we're yet speaking, you'll listen. We thank you for listening. We thank you for answering. And we pray for those members who are not with us that you would keep their hearts and minds stayed on you. And may we all have a blessed Sabbath, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is George Corliss. I'm an elder up in the Cadillac Church, and everybody in Cadillac says hi to you guys. Tell you a little bit about Strong Tower Radio that's going on. Right now, since the last time I came here, we filed all of the papers with the FCC and everything, and all we are is waiting to get the okay back from the FCC to build the station. Could be a day, could be a week, could be a month, don't know. But just as soon as we get the okay back, we'll be building the station and we'll be on the air in this area. And it'll be 90.7, so you want to write that down, 90.7. is the ID number that you would pick that up on your radio. I want to tell you a short story of how God provides. We just placed on the air a 50,000-watt station up in the eastern UP in Sioux, Ontario, Canada. And I was up in Sault Ste. Marie on the American side, and we were going out door-to-door in the afternoon sharing with people about Strong Tower Radio and the different programs and things to kind of do some marketing to let people know that we were, you know, up there and they could tune in. And we got back and we were able to start two Bible studies as we were going door-to-door with that. It was really just a great opportunity to be able to reach a lot of people. It's funny when I go out and teach that, you know, I've been a co-porter and a Bible worker for a lot of years, so it doesn't scare me to go door-to-door, and I had 8 people going door-to-door with me. So can you imagine 8 people coming up to your door and knocking on your door? It was kind of, everybody was curious, Anthony, when they opened the door, like, what in the world is going on here? But that week before I went up there on Sabbath, on Friday actually, we'd been talking at the radio station because we go by faith with everything. And by faith in March, when the radio station came on the air, we decided to, you know, to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to place it on the air. We didn't have the money to pay for it, the electricity and other things like that, for it to be on 24/7. We were just placing our faith in God that He would provide. Well, He provided in March, He provided in April, and He provided in May. But Anthony, there was no funds in the accounts for June. And we were kind of wondering what we needed to do, and obviously we were praying about the entire situation. And when we got done there on Sabbath afternoon, one of the church members gave me an envelope, and I just stuck it in my pocket. And on the way home on Sunday, it was still in my pocket, and about halfway home, I opened it up, and it was a check for $10,000. And I was just, I mean, the entire weekend was just a super blessing, but that was like, Lord, that is just such an outpouring of your love. That'll keep us on the air for over 3 more months all by itself. On Monday, I got an email from the family that gave us the check. And they said, George, as soon as we knew that the radio station was going to be up in the area, we had about a 2 or 3 acre parcel up there that we decided to sell and dedicate it to the radio station. And we just sold it. And he said, when my wife and I were making the checkout to Strong Tower Radio, we were thinking to ourselves, how many other areas in our life, because, you know, we're not well off by any means, that we could have used that to pay bills and other things like that. But we went forward with what we had, you know, promised the Lord that we would give the $10,000. And he says, I went to work on Monday, and he says, my boss came over to me. And just started talking, and he thought it was kind of weird that his boss, he never comes out and talks to him. And he says, I just want you to know, his boss has talked to him, that we had some extra profit-sharing funds of $10,000 that we just placed into your account. And the last words that in this email was, George, you just can't outgive God, can you? I was just amazed, and I continue to be amazed every day as phone calls and emails and Facebook this and all kinds of things come into the studio. And I'm just so happy that we can be a blessing, a channel in which God's love can flow through to the communities that we're already in. Today I'm going to share about my personal testimony. I hope you're in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. I did not grow up a Christian, and neither did my wife. In fact, the only time I ever went to church was during vacation Bible school. So, you know, a lot of times we poo-poo vacation Bible school. To me personally, I think that's one of the greatest evangelistic series that we have the opportunity to share with the community, because it plants seeds that may not be harvested for decades, but they're going to be harvested. You know, the Bible makes a promise that I'm going to cast my word, my seed, out onto the water, and it shall not return unto me what? Void. What is water in prophecy? What does that talk about? Peoples, tongues, nations, people groups. He's made a promise. I think we ought to honor that promise and do all that we can to spread his word. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you so much for your love. And today, Father, I want to thank you for your long suffering, your patience that you've had with me. And I'm sure there's others that are out here that agree with me. I just ask that you use me as a channel now, a blessing, Father, from your throne to each one of our hearts. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 12:11 is one of my favorite texts. When you read that, there's two parts to it. Did you notice that? They overcame him, and if you go back a couple of verses, it's talking about Satan. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Two things, right? You see that? Most of the people say, oh, no, you just overcome by the blood. No. The Bible tells us you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Your testimony is unique because only you have it. I don't know how many of you take the time to tell your personal testimony to people, but it's the most powerful way that God has in drawing people to his ever-bleeding side. My wife and I, when we got married, just two kids, fell in love, more lust than it was dedication to each other. Didn't know the Lord, didn't know much of anything. Both of us worked for a living, enjoyed life. At a couple of years into the marriage, I was working at a nightclub, a bowling alley, and a restaurant. And I was the manager of the bowling alley, assistant manager of the nightclub and in the restaurant. And my day would usually start around 11 o'clock in the morning when I would come in, start preparing the facility for my employees to come in and then for the people to come in and, you know, do what they were going to do, whether they were going to bowl or whether they were going to eat or whether they were going to go into the nightclub later on. A lot of times my day would end at 2:30 when the bar closed. Now remember, I wasn't a Christian and I want you to understand this. I'm not trying to glorify Satan with some of the things that I'm saying. Can you understand that? A lot of times, some of the guys that worked in the bowling alley, in the bowling alley and in the nightclub, they would say, hey, let's get a case of beer and some other alcohol, and let's just go riding around for a while, you know, to kind of let the steam off after we close the bar. I'd do that sometimes. We'd usually end up going to the restaurant around 6, 7 o'clock in the morning and eating breakfast. I'd go home about 8, fall asleep, wake up at 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and do the same thing the next day, and the next day, and the next day. By that time, it was about, 3 or so years into our marriage, and we had two children. Now, my oldest son's name is Adam, and my second oldest son's name is Matthew. And Adam was about, 2 years old. Matt was about 6 months old when this happened. Now, ladies, I want to ask you a question. How great of a marriage do you think you could have with a man like myself if I'm staying out all night, working all the time, drinking, carousing, going out with other women? Do you think you're going to have a real solid marriage at home? My wife didn't think so either, and one day when I came home, she had my bags and other things like that there, and she says, you're out of here. Well, by that time, the marriage had pretty much broken down. We got to the point where we basically hated each other's guts, if you just want to put it plain and simple. And it was just miserable for both of us. She ended up filing for divorce. I had to get an attorney. You know, attorneys are expensive. You know, paying child support is expensive. You know, there's consequences to your actions. Amen? And I was like, man, my attorney, and she had filed, and so we're, you know, agreeing with her and setting things up and this and that. And in the meantime, it got worse and worse at work. Drinking more, carousing more, just doing whatever to just block any pain that I had at that time out of the situation. Got a phone call from my wife about 3 months into the divorce, and she says, I just want you to know that I've started taking Bible studies. And I said, what? She says, I just want you to know that I've started taking Bible studies. And she says, I've been able to find in the Bible that I have grounds to divorce you. But I've come to the conclusion after a lot of prayer, George, that I love you and I forgive you. I thought she had fallen off the turnip truck. I thought that she had bonked her head. And I told her so, very unkindly, and I hung up the phone. Love me and forgive me. What a bunch of baloney. A couple of weeks go by, and I get another phone call from her. You notice she calls me, I never call her. She says, George, she says, I just want you to know that I love you and forgive you, and I'm going to be baptized this coming weekend, and I'd like you to come. Are you kidding me? Why would I come to something like that? I hate you. And I hung up. A little bit more time passed. All of a sudden, I get a phone call from my attorney. And he says, I've got some good news and some bad news for you, George. And, well, what is it? Going to cost me money. I didn't care. Whatever he was calling on the phone, all I was thinking about was writing a check. He says, your wife has dropped the divorce. Huh? And he says, if you want to continue with the divorce, she was the one that initiated it to start out with. She's dropped it, so you have to initiate. We have to refile in there and get everything going. I says, you got to be kidding me. What is the matter with her? Hung up with him after I got done talking and telling him what I wanted to do and all the other things like that. As soon as I hung up the phone, I called my wife. I says, what are you doing? She says, well, just want you to know that I've become a Christian and that I love you and I forgive you. Well, I hate you. And I just refile for divorce, so have a great life. And I hung up the phone. A couple weeks later, my boss comes up to me and he says, hey, George, he says, Tootie, who's his wife and I, he says, we're going on vacation. And I said, you can't go on vacation. It was getting right into the holiday time when all of the kids are home on break. And there's sometimes 400, 500, 600, 700 people that's in the nightclub. And I said, who's going to take over for you guys? And he just smiled at me. He says, well, you are. And I says, I can't do all of your jobs. Tootie does the books. You do this. It's only for 2 weeks. I says, it's the busiest time of the year. It's only for 2 weeks. We used to have a safe that was probably about as big as your podium here. And basically what happened was is that every night when everybody was done, they took all of the cash registers that they had, you know, the trays, and what they would do is stick them in that safe. There could be 15 or 20 of them in there. There might be $30,000 or $40,000 in that safe. Well, Tootie, his wife, is the one that usually counted that and made the bank deposit. Guess who has to do that now? I do. So I'd come in even earlier, and when I'd come in, there was actually two doors into the business. And when I came in, I know I've got all this money scattered all over the place. I'm coming in the late morning. I'm locking the first door. I lock the second door. I come back in, and I've got money on every desk, nook and cranny, all over the place, checks, and I can't make anything balance. And I am just hot as a hornet. a wet one. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice. Is George Corliss here? Who's that? Is George Corliss here? I was kind of alarmed. I've got all this money all over the place, and we had things that protected the money that were back there in the office, and I started to grab one of those things and walked out there. Here's this little guy about this tall, probably in his 50s, balding some. He's in a suit. I thought, a salesman. You gotta be kidding me. I don't have time for this. And I said, I'm George Corliss. And he reached out, grabbed my hand. And he says, hi, my name's Pastor Jim Mitchiff Sr. And I just want you to know how great of a family you've got. If Debbie would have been there, I'd have strangled her. Why would she send this guy, her pastor, to see me? I don't want to see. I hate her guts. He went on talking, blah, 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 blah. He's probably there 3 minutes. And I'm just really frustrated. I've got all of this going on. I've got all of this going on, and now he comes in. He's done. And he says, George, can I have a word of prayer with you? Now, folks, I don't know about you. I really enjoy listening to people pray. But one thing that I've been able to discern over the years is if the person who's praying knows the one that they're praying to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jim Mitchiff knew who he was praying to. And he bowed his head. I didn't bow my head. Just watched him pray and I just listened. He finally said amen. And I'm like, great, let's go. Let's get you out of here. Let's go. I want you out of here. And he's talking, just kind of passing the day. I get him through the first door, getting through the second door, and all of a sudden it dawns on me. I locked both of those doors. Anthony, I was going to ask him if he had a key, but I thought that would be pretty stupid. First thing I'm going to do when I see Jesus, I'm going to say, who unlocked the door? Because I believe just as Peter was let out of prison, God sent an angel and opened those doors up so Pastor Mitchiff could come into the nightclub and talk to me. Started locking the first door up again. And all of a sudden he says, wait a minute, wait a minute. And I thought, come on. He says, I forgot to give you this. And he had a book. I don't want a book. Just a little book. Thanks, see ya. Have a great life. Lock the door. Lock the other door. Threw it on the counter there in the bowling alley and went back in, and I was more miserable than I ever was before. Phone rings about an hour later. It's my bowling alley manager. I'm sick, can't make it in tonight. I'll come get you. You're coming in. We're shorthanded to start out with. George has been throwing up all day long, can't make it. Oh, my goodness. George is running the bowling alley that night. People are coming in, getting changed, talking to him. Finally, they're down there bowling. Now, we had 12 lanes in this bowling alley. They were old machines, and they would break down quite often of where I'd have to go in back and, you know, do something to the machine very quickly to get it running, and then I'd come back up front again. Those machines didn't break down at all that night. I'm like, this is impossible. It was boring. There's that book that he gave me. I'm going to take a peek at it. Just a little book, only about that thick. It's called 3 Hours to Live. It's about a man that had committed a murder. He'd gotten caught, and he was sentenced to death. And a pastor befriended him in prison, introduced him to Jesus. He accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And that God had loved him and had forgiven him for everything that he had done. Where did I hear that before? Then the battle started. I don't know if you guys ever saw the cartoons when you were little of the good angel and the bad angel on each side of your shoulder, and one is whispering one thing about God in here, and the other is whispering the other thing in here, that God doesn't love you, he hates you, you know, no way could he do. There was a battle going on. Man. Got about halfway through the book, and somebody came up and threw the book off to the side. Didn't have a chance to read the rest of it the next, you know, that day. Came in the next day, same things are going on. All of a sudden the phone rings, bowling alley manager is sick again. I'm there running the bowling alley again that night. No machines are breaking down. Pick up the book and I read the rest of the book. All that's going through my mind at this time is this. George, Debbie loves you and forgives you. No, she doesn't. There's no way that she could love you and forgive you for what you've done. George, yes, she can. She loves you and forgives you. Back and forth. Back and forth. That night at 2:30, closed up. Everybody said, come on, George, let's go. We're going to go, you know, two-tracking today. We've got a case of beer. We've got these other stuff. Let's just go. No, I don't feel like it. What are you going to do? I don't know. I'm just going to go drive around. You guys ever done that? You know, just get in the car, get in the, I had a truck at that time, a GMC, a Jimmy. And you just drive, and you come to this T, and I'll turn right. You have no reason to turn right. You just turn right. And then you'd turn left, and then you'd go straight. Didn't care. About an hour, hour and a half later, Anthony, it dawns on me that I'm driving down the road that my wife lives on at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the battle escalates. George, she loves you and forgives you. She'll never leave you nor forsake you even for a moment. Then the other side would do it. Then I would come back. Getting closer and closer to the driveway. And I pull into the driveway. Now, we lived in a trailer at that time. And the trailer, let's say you guys are at the road, so you're facing the trailer. As you pull in the driveway, this is the back of the trailer. This is where Debbie and my bedroom was at. You guys follow me? And then there's the bathroom. Then there's the kids' room. And then we come to the kitchen. And then we've got the dining room. And this is where the front door is at right here. And then there's the living room on the rest of the trailer. I pulled in, shut my lights off, shut the truck off real quick. There's no lights on in the trailer. Just as dark could be. I didn't know what to do. Finally, I decided to get out of the truck. And I got out of the truck, and I walked up to the door. And I hesitated before I knocked, but I was just knocked once, literally, one time. Within just a few seconds, the door opened up and Debbie is standing there. And she says, I knew it was you. And she jumped into my arms. We've now been married for 34 years. We have 5 children and 10 grandchildren. Couldn't believe it. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Ladies, I'm pointing this toward you today. Is everybody following me? I hope I've got your attention. Because I wasn't a Christian yet when I came back. I didn't know who God was. All I knew was is that my wife loved me with an everlasting love and that she was never going to leave me nor forsake me even for a moment. Everybody follow me? That's all I knew. I didn't know God. I didn't want to know God. And you want to know something? She knew it. And she respected that. Does everybody understand what I'm saying there? She respected that. She knew she wasn't going to be able to push God down my throat. So often we try to do that. It never works. It never works. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, if you're there, say amen. I'm reading from the King James. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, in some of the other versions, you're going to hear or see the words poured, filled up, poured out. Okay? I looked up those words in the King James where it says shed abroad. Looked them up in the Greek. It's kind of a weird shed abroad. What does that mean? I remember sheds peanut butter. But shed abroad, it means to be poured out all over, to be spilled. Does everybody follow me? So let's take for an example, if I've got a 5-gallon bucket and I'm watering these beautiful lilies. Now, most of us would say, fill my cup, Lord. And you're going to fill it up to the top, right? That's not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about filling it up and then splashing it and splattering it all over. Are you guys with me? I mean, it's dripping down all over the place. Now, let's read that again with that thought in mind. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is splashed all over the place. You got it? In our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Lord uses us as a vessel, not to fill the vessel up, but to fill it up to overflowing so it splashes all over the place. Why? I want you to turn to Psalm 34, and I want you to look at verse number 8. Psalm 34 and verse number 8. Why does he want it to splash all over? Psalm 34 and verse 8. And it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why does he want it to splash all over? Because he wants other people to get a taste of his character, of his love, of his long-suffering, of his mercy, of everything that's about him. I was tasting God through my wife. Do you guys see that? She knew that. She wasn't pushing. I was there for just a couple of days, and I wondered who stole my wife. This wasn't the Debbie that I married. She was totally different. I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I says, how'd you answer the door so quick that night that I came home? I can tell when my wife is going to cry because her chin starts to shiver a little bit and shake. I can tell, before the tears, before anything, I can tell when she's going to cry. And the tears just start gushing out. She said, when you knocked on the door, I was on my knees in the living room praying for you at that very moment. I started crying. And I said, Debbie, I don't know who this God is that you worship and that you love, but he's changed you. And because of that, I want to learn who he is and what he's about. Can you teach me? Can you show me? Then a whole bunch of tears come down her cheek. About a month or so later, I went to the Cadillac Seventh-day Adventist Church for the first time. Come in the door. Got a church about this size probably, maybe just a little bit bigger. 200 members. When I come in the door, people were shaking my hand. You know what they were saying? We've been praying for you. I didn't really understand the power of prayer. Debbie had shared that with me, and I kind of got the clue that that was the reason why I was there. Everybody with me? People coming up and give me a hug. I didn't know them from Adam. That was weird for me. What are you hugging me for? Because we love you. We've been praying for you. And we're just ecstatic that you're here. About a month later, I was baptized by Pastor Jim Mitchiff Sr. At that time, I weighed over 400 pounds. Jim probably doesn't weigh 160 soaking wet at that time. He's about, what is he thinking, about 5'8", maybe, right around in there, probably right around there. I was about 6'2", 6'3", 400 and some pounds. Put me down in the baptismal tank. He couldn't pull me up. I finally got my feet underneath me. Got up there, and he says, I left him down a little longer to make sure he was dead. In Sabbath school, we were talking about prayer. You know, John 17:3 is one of my favorite verses. It says, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is based upon a relationship. And that relationship is based upon a knowledge of the Son. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus introduced me to Jesus, or excuse me, Debbie introduced me to Jesus, and then Jesus introduces me to the Father because they have the same exact character. Amen? You see how that works? It's pretty simple. I kind of like that. A couple months later, I became a co-porter. Went knocking on doors for about 7 years in Michigan and Illinois. After that, I worked in the schools as a listen worker for 18 years. A couple years after that, I worked as a Bible worker, healthcare worker. Now I'm working at the radio station. One thing I've never forgot is how powerful prayer is. Can I get two deacons? I've got one right here. Maybe Anthony, could you help for just a second? You can be an elder deacon. How's that? Could you guys pass those out for me? At the radio station, one thing that we started just as soon as we started the station, we gave people an opportunity to send their prayers in to the station. And we would pray over them. But there's been a problem. We have hundreds of prayers coming in every month now. On Wednesdays, we actually have a prayer meeting at the radio station. It's a non-denominational prayer meeting. We get Baptists and we get Pentecostals and Adventists and Catholics, and whoever wants to come can come. And we pray over all of these prayer requests. Jeremiah 33:3 says, Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I want to ask you guys right now, if you have any prayer requests that you'd like us to pray over, we take prayer seriously. And if you want to write them down on that sheet there and hand them to me before I leave, or you can call them in, or you can email them in, and we'll be happy to pray with you and for you for each one of those requests. Number two, if you turn the sheet over, we're also looking for prayer warriors, and we've started a prayer warrior team. Now, what do the prayer warriors in this team do? By email, we send all of these prayers once a week that we receive to our group of prayer warriors. And they can lift them up throughout the week or on a daily basis or whatever time permits in their life. And if you'd like to be one of our prayer warriors, you need email. You can fill that sheet out and you can give that to me. Right now we have 20 prayer warriors in two different countries and in about seven different states that are praying for all of those prayers that people send in on a weekly basis. Now here's the second half of the story. You remember my son Adam and Matt, when I had asked Debbie about how she got to the door so quickly that morning that I came back, and she said she had been praying in the living room for me at that very moment. She said, George, she says, every day, I would get Adam and Matt, and we would kneel in the living room at the couch there, and I'd teach them how to pray, and they'd pray for their daddy. Well, the roles have changed because both of my sons do not have a relationship with Christ. And so now their daddy's praying for them. Folks, prayer is the most important weapon that we have as a Christian. How often do you talk to God each day? Is it just for a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes before you head out the door? Or is this Christian thing something that's real to you? That you know the person that you're praying to, just like Jim Mitchell knows the person he's praying to and loves him. Jim gave me a book. Anthony, I don't know if you know it, but in Cole Porter Ministry, it says that a Cole Porter Ministry is a spirit of prophecy book. I want to clarify that. That there's an angel that goes with every book and every tract that we give or sell to somebody. Did you guys know that? Did you guys know that? I'd have to say that there's probably a lot of unemployed angels right now in Midland that you guys could put to work in a hurry if you got serious. It's just a book, but God used that book. It was just a prayer, but God heard that prayer. Because the people that gave the book and that were praying were sincere with God and were more than willing to get on their knees to war against Satan on a daily basis. I just want to encourage you right now to spend more time on your knees than you ever have before. Moms, grandmas, wives, you can't push your husband, you can't push your son, you can't push your brother, you can't push your dad into a relationship with God. But if you ask God to make you a vessel where he can pour his Holy Spirit through you so that they can taste and see that he is good, that works every time. What are you going to do, church?
Would you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, if we look back on, each of us looks back on our path, our journey to you, Lord, we can see that prayer played an important role in our journey too, and it does in every journey. And we know the people, we know many of the people that prayed for us, Lord. But I'm sure you could tell us of others that prayed that we're unaware. And we just ask that we would be faithful as those people were for us, that we would be faithful to others and lift them up in prayer, enabling you to work in their lives. We thank you for the testimony that was shared this morning and the encouragement that it was to each of us to continue to pray for those loved ones that are drifting away apart from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.